are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Welcome to our television audience. A great honor to have you with us today across America, across Europe, and throughout Africa. We pray today that God will come and touch you right where you are. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. On the count of three, shout something good that Jesus has done for you. Okay. 1, 2, 3. I just want to honor everybody that's been going on social media and telling your story. Thousands of you have been telling your story on social media, and it matters. It's changing many lives out there. Come on, give yourself a hand clap in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now for the good news this morning. Are you all happy? And good news this morning. Turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 4, and I read from verse 5. Let's continue to talk this morning on... I've got to tell somebody or telling your story. John chapter 4 verse 5. So he came to a city, Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from a Samaritan woman?" Even in those days, there was prejudice. There was racism. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans. Almost sounds like an era gone by, and an era that we never want to repeat in the name of Jesus. Shout amen. Come on and say, God bless South Africa. Hallelujah. So we continue. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, says that give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. For the woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Then verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, okay, it's just a little conversation or a lengthy conversation between Jesus and a woman. I read everything because it is part of the sermon that I want to illustrate today. "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you are living with now is not your husband." Okay. Now some of you immediately think, oh, what kind of a woman was this? Okay. It's a woman that couldn't fight the right man. Okay. She had five men. I've spoken to people who had one husband, two husbands, three husbands. I've never spoken to somebody that had five husbands. I know Elizabeth Taylor had seven husbands, and Richard Burton, the second time she married him, she said, "I'll only keep you a little while this time." Okay. "And the one who I'm living with is not your husband," and that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And we know the area where Jesus goes, we're not worshiping in a place. "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." But watch the change in the woman's tone. The minute when Jesus revealed her true need, she becomes religious and she quotes the prophets. A lot of people in our country that quote the Bible, but they have no relationship with God. And we are going to change it through our testimony. Amen. Many of you were exactly like that before you were born again. Before maybe you came to CRC, you could quote the Bible. I was one of those people. I went to church. I read my Bible. I prayed every night, "God, forgive my sin." But I had no relationship with God. I lived with God for God on a Sunday for an hour, but I never lived for God 24/7. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. So the woman... Jesus continuing in verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you and am he." At this point, the disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they all went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all things I ever did. Many people in the city turned to Christ because of the woman's testimony. Lift your hand and say, Father, use me to tell my story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Come on, Mr. Piano Man. During this rather lengthy, interesting conversation, Jesus addresses two of this woman's greatest needs. Her number one need is her spiritual need, and her second need is her emotional need. I mean, think about it for a moment. This woman was seeking God, but in the wrong place. In relationships. She had five men. The one she was living now was not her husband. And yet she's a religious woman. She's a woman who has a reputation. And the minute Jesus begins to talk to her, the barrier goes up, the religious facade goes up, and she quotes the Bible. Oh, I talk to a lot of people. When I talk to them about Jesus, they will tell me, well, I have my church, or I don't sin like that person, or I do this and I do that. Well, Jesus immediately cut through that facade, and he brings it to what it's all about. It's about a relationship with God, not worshiping God in Jerusalem, not worshiping God on this mountain, but having a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody that knows Jesus, say amen and give him a little bit of a praise. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a lot of people in our world. I was like one of those that go to church on a Sunday, and during the week I live like the devil. I quote the Bible. I quote John chapter 3 verse 16, but I had no relationship with God. Well, this woman was like that. The greatest need in human beings is, apart from love and acceptance, is to have a spiritual experience. That's why we have so many religions in the world. People somehow know there is a higher power, a higher being. There is a God out there, and people are trying to connect with this God. She did it through the law and the prophets. Then Jesus comes and he says, but I'm what you're looking for. I am the gift. This is not about a format. This is about a relationship. So you don't need to send your prayers to Jerusalem. You don't need somebody to take water and anoint it on Mount Zion in Israel. You can worship God right here in Pretoria, right there in the correctional facility. Wherever you are, you can worship God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the second thing he addresses in this woman is her emotional need, her need for unconditional love and acceptance. Something people are crying out for today. Notice me. Love me for who I am. I mean, she looked for love and acceptance in relationships. She had five husbands. How many affairs she had, I don't know. Maybe one marriage got into an affair, led to a next marriage, got into an affair, led to the next marriage. God, I don't know. But she had five husbands, and the one she was living was not a husband. So maybe she gave up on marriage. She was trying to meet a need, like many people in our world do today, thinking, if I can have a boyfriend, if I can have a girlfriend, if I can have somebody put his arms around me. How many young girls in our world sell out to a young guy to just feel loved? Well, she was one of those. She was crying out for love, as many people do in our world today, crying out to be noticed. She was crying out for affection, and she entered into relationship of abuse after abuse, where men used her. And that is until Jesus came, and for the first time in her life, she experienced what she was looking for. Because you see, my friend, she tried to fill the void through relationships. She tried to fill the void in her heart through sexual relationships with men. But every morning after a night with somebody else, she woke up the next day realizing, I've lost another part of me. I'm more empty today than I was yesterday. And then she would pursue another man, or another man would get his way with her, and she would wake up again. And although for the moment there was pleasure, and for the moment she felt good, the void on the inside that was created for God was never filled and was never satisfied. That is until Jesus came and he loved her with an unconditional love. He loved her like she never was loved. He loved her, oh come on, wanting nothing in return. In the name of Jesus Christ, he loved her for who she was. Our world is crying out for love. Our nation, South Africa. Last year, week, we heard one of the most powerful testimonies relating to our situation in South Africa when Pastor Gabriel stood up and he said, the same hand that oppressed me, God used to heal me. How many people out there need to hear our story? How many people out there need to hear the love that God has for them? We have to go into our world and tell our story. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. Come on. I was a beggar, but he revived me. I was broken, but he healed me. Come on. He gave me beautiful ashes. I hated people, but he gave me a love for people. Come on. Somebody that is born again in this place, shout amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, after he touches this woman, she changes. And she runs, so much so that she runs back to a village and she says, come see a man. Could this be the Christ? When you experience the love that God has for you, you cannot help but love him back. You cannot help but tell your friends. I'll never forget when I met Jesus on the 14th of November 1982. When I walked out of that little building, I ran to my girlfriend. And I told her, my life changed. And she looked at me. I told my friends that afternoon, you have to come with me to church. My life changed because I found what I was looking for. But I was looking in the wrong place. I was looking in relationships. I was looking in partying. I was looking in religion for a time, going to church. Every night praying, God forgive my sin. But having no relationship with God. You see, my dear friend, your story will address these needs in people. People are looking for God. But they're hiding behind the veil of religion. People are looking for love and acceptance, but they hide behind the veil of anger and hatred. Somebody has to break through that veil. Somebody has to be the gospel preached to them. Somebody has to go and say, I was just like you, but Jesus opened my eyes and put your arms around that person and reveal the love that God has for that person. Oh, come on in the name of Jesus. This is not a story to be kept. It's not a secret to be kept. This is a story to tell. This is a message to share, like this woman. We all came before him with nothing. Oh, maybe you had religious works, or maybe you had money, or maybe you had what you thought is happiness, but you were empty inside. I was there. Oh, when the alcohol flowed, you would not think I was empty. I would be jovial, but when I climbed in my bed, and nobody can deny this, when I climbed in my bed, I was empty. When I woke up the next morning, I knew something was lacking, but I would just go again, and I would go look for something again to fill that void. I would look again to fill that void. This woman was like that. Last week, we looked at the man of the Gadarenes. People had written this person off, this woman. Think about her psychological profile. Think about her reputation. Think about what people said about her. Not only was she misused and abused by men, she was despised by the Jews. She was on the wrong side of racism. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when the disciples came back and they found Jesus talking to her, they were shocked that he could talk to Malema. I mean, that he could talk to. And somebody called me a terrorist on social media for having a meeting with Malema. A terrorist. I'm a terrorist for trying to convert a man. What do you think these disciples thought? The Bible says they were shocked. In John chapter 4 verse 27, the message of the Bible says, just then the disciples came back and they were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of a woman. I mean, it's like people think the church is a place for whole people. The church is a place for pious people. The church is a hospital. The church is a place for broken people. The church is a place for lost people. The church is the place where anybody is welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we don't reach people with the love of God, who will? They were shocked. but they never said a word. Their faces told the story. That's what the Bible says. Have you watched people? I see people look at me sometimes. Like, it's like their faces say everything. How could you do that, Pastor? How could you allow a state funeral? Yeah. How could you associate with those people? Well, Jesus was a friend of sinners. I find Christians rather boring. I want to be among sinners so I can tell my story. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name. Because he did something for me. When I was blind, he opened my eyes. When I was hurt, he healed my heart. Come on. When I was broken, he fixed me. When I was mad and angry, wanting to give up on life and people, he came and he rescued me. Come on. He gave me a love for people. He changed my heart. He took out the heart of stone and he gave me a heart of flesh. Come on. He turned me from a persecutor to a preacher in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody can do that but Jesus. Ain't nobody can deliver you like Jesus. Somebody give the Lord Jesus a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Got to tell your story. Bump the person next to you and tell that person, you've got to tell your story. A nation is crying out for love and acceptance. I'm not a preacher like every other preacher. I'll say it as it is. I sat with preachers this week and they told me white people have no place in South Africa. And I looked at them and I said, excuse me, I'm never leaving South Africa. I'm part of South Africa. I'm an African as much as you are an African. Africa is in my blood, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes I walk and people look at me, who's this that the cat dragged in you? It's a fact, because I'm white. You have no voice. Well, according to you, I have a story. Thank you. You're not going to silence my story. You're not going to take from me what Jesus did for me. You're not going to silence me, because he said, if I don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. Come on, somebody with a story. Give the Lord Jesus a shout of praise. Come on. A nation needs to hear our story. People around us need to hear our story. Because without your story, there is no hope. Paul the apostle, after his conversion on Acts chapter 9, his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he told his story wherever he went. It was the core of his ministry. Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 4, the first sermon he preaches, verse 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's his story. I'm the Messiah. Acts chapter 10, the Bible says he went throughout Galilee and all the region and he proclaimed that same message. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. Paul, when he faced the Jerusalem mob and they wanted to stone him, a rowdy crowd, he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me tell you my story. Then when he stood before the king and they investigated him, he said, let me just tell you my story before you pass judgment. I always do that when I get into any scenario. And people ask me any question, I say, I will answer that now, but I want to tell you what Jesus did for me. I grew up in South Africa. I grew up under apartheid. I grew up like this. Then Jesus came, and this is my story. Then Jesus changed me. And then they want to come and they want to say, yeah, but what about this and this and this? And I say, it's not the end of the story. Let me first tell my story. And I keep on preaching the story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. Paul says, we are written epistles. We are living epistles. We have to tell our story, because there's healing in our story. This week I stopped my car, I think it was Thursday, there was a whole delegation of government to come and look at the facility before the state funeral of yesterday, and I climbed out of my car and many of them looked at me like, who's this? It's like, who's this? The bishop of this church can't look like that. So I climbed out of my car, listen, I said, introduced me to the most important person there, which Pastor Harry did. I said, thank you all for being here. You know, I made a commitment to God. Everybody that comes to our facility, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell you about my story. Initially, it was like, who are you? We didn't get to come and listen to your story. But when you tell your story, you captivate people. You capture people's attention. And the one man began to weep. Big man that was outspoken, he began to weep. And I could see people soften as I told my story. Because it's my story. It's what Jesus did for me. Come on. Your story is the real story. It will soften any heart if you have a story to tell. You've got to tell your world. Oh, I know you don't like me, but I like you. I know you hate me, but I love you. I don't, you're not gonna build a, you're not gonna push me away. Reason I still go to gym, I could have had a gym at my house long ago, is to find people to tell my story. Because like I said, I find a Christian environment very boring. Not when we worship together like this. I mean, some people pray and they say, God, just give me a company where everybody is Christian. Oh, how boring. I don't want to work with a bunch of Christians. I want to be in the world. Jesus then prays, Father, do not take them out of the world. He says, as God sent me into the world, so sent I you. You are the light in the world. You will not shine in a Christian company. You have to shine as an attorney out there in the world, as a doctor out there in the world. They need your story. So get over this little weak Christianity that you know, you're just hanging in there praying for Jesus to come back because you don't want to overcome your trials and tribulations. You at university to tell your story. To tell people, I came from the northern province and I thought all white people were devils. I thought white people couldn't go to heaven. But then I met a pastor that showed me a different way. Oh, what's his name? No, his name is Ad Bosov. What? How can you go to a church where a pastor is a white person? Well, how can I not? People say, are you now one of those happy clappies? Yes, I am. Do you want to see? Hallelujah. At least I'm happy. At least I'm a clappy. I don't only clap for a soccer ball. I clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Come on. He writes to Timothy, he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, neither be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Do not be ashamed of your pastor. Do not be ashamed of your church. Do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, for God has not given you the spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Maybe they need to be delivered the same way Pastor Gabriel was delivered by a man who oppressed them, that God will now use to bring liberty and freedom. Like in our country, people have forgot our story, our bigger story. Can I ask a question? Who delivered Israel from Egypt? Was it Moses or God? Can I go a step further? Moses and the elders or God? I sit and I listen when we honor man, but we don't make a mention of God, and I think it's a sad day. Because the struggle in our nation was rooted in prayer. And Nkosi Sikelel was birthed by the Holy Ghost in the hearts of people that wanted freedom in South Africa, equality in South Africa, liberation in South Africa. But now it's like, let's put God on the back burner. Some circles, there's not a mention of God. That people cannot acknowledge. God used him because of God. God delivered Israel because of God. You want to take God out of society and think we can bring healing to our nation. You cannot tell your story and take Jesus out because you never saved yourself. You never delivered yourself. You never birthed yourself. You never made yourself a reformer. Now it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Come on, somebody shout, somebody look happy. Somebody praise the Lord. I've got 5 minutes left. 5 minutes, 12 seconds. How to reach those in your world. Number one, you have to pray for people. Yes. You have to pray. Pray. I said to a lady yesterday, she works at the top level of government. I said, you can be an Esther because you've got the ear of the king and every other government official. You can be the Esther. She's got a beautiful name. Her name is Grace. I said, what a name. You can be the Esther. You can be the voice. You can be the agent of prayer, the agent of change. First thing you do, wherever God places you, pray for those in your world. I pray for those people who gym next to me. I pray for people I encounter. I always pray for people. By the way, I'm praying for Julius Malema. So do not have a heart attack if you see your pastor sit with Julius Malema. I'm telling you now in the name of Jesus Christ, there are people I pray for that you think I should not sit with, and I'm going to sit with him, and you're going to have to suck it up. What got us in this mess in the first place in South Africa is we just loved to a point. We loved exclusively. So people say today, how can white people go to heaven? Listen, and don't fall off your chair now. Okay, just listen. If white people oppressed us with the Bible, now it's something to think about. Now you get uncomfortable, now you think, yeah, I got to come here. I mean, how does it even make sense to call yourself a Christian and then a Pentecostal Christian and you oppress anybody? How does it even make sense? So black people that cried out to God, that were crying for freedom, that were being pressed by brothers in the name of Jesus Christ, said, how can these white people be born again if they do the work of the devil, if they oppress us, if they beat us, if they torture us? When I came in Pentecostal circles and I asked the question as a young white man, I said, how can we talk in tongues and we're in segregation? How can we talk in tongues and exclude if the purpose of Pentecost was unity? Not talking in tongues or a goosebump or a religion. It was God uniting the nations. On the day of Pentecost, God chose that day to unite the nations, and he poured out his Holy Ghost. He poured out love. Come on, in Jesus' name. Now it's almost like the foot is on the other shoe. It's like, okay, you white preacher, we don't want you. You're irritating us because you're reaching black people. I'm going to irritate you more. I'm going to irritate you more, much more. Amen. Look, you either like, I realize that by now, you either like me or you don't like me at all. That's okay. I realized that long ago. That's fine. God bless you. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your anger. Enjoy your hate. Have a great life. I'm committed to see this country changed. I'm committed to see this country united. I'm committed to preach the gospel, to see people like this come on. I'm committed to social transform. Come on, I'm committed to poverty alleviation. I'm committed to the economic welfare of every person born in South Africa. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm committed to see wealth redistribution throughout South Africa in the right way through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just slogans, but actions. I'm committed to raise a church of good Samaritans that will heal the hurts in South Africa and will be colorblind yet celebrate color in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Put me in the grave, my bones are still going to bless somebody. That person who put dirt like Elijah, my bones are going to bless him. I'm telling you, the love of God is in me. The fire of God is in me. I was blind, now I see. You're not going to shut me up. You can put me in a prison. I'm going to tell you that Jesus loves you. I'm going to tell you that there is place for you in South Africa, that everybody has a future in the name of Jesus, because God said so. Not going to play this political game that so many of our religious leaders are playing, because that got us in a mess in the apartheid era. Well, there's too much truth there for most of you. You can't stomach it because you're still in kindergarten, but you're born again. Because all you want is a goosebump. Okay, number one, pray for people. Number two, tell your story. Stop being ashamed. You're not in the FBI. You're not in the secret service. You are the light, you are the salt. Tell your story like this woman did. After Jesus or Andrew encounters Jesus, the first thing he did is he found his brother. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 41, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. I thank God today, my brother who's in heaven now for a few years, I thank God when he found Jesus, he did not keep it to himself. I thank God that he came to me and he told me about this Jesus. And initially I was resistant, but then he invited my friend and he invited me and he got me to come to church and I was gloriously saved. I thank God that he never kept it to himself, but that he invited me, that he told me about Jesus, and I could see this Jesus in his life. Come on, let's not keep Jesus from our world and from our relatives and from our friends. This woman runs back to her village and she says, come see a man. She tells her story and then she brings her world to Jesus. The Bible says many believe because of her testimony, but many more believe because when they came, they found the Messiah for themselves as well. Let's continue to bring people with us to church. Number one, pray. Number two, tell. Number three, bring. Bring people to church. 75% of people join churches or get saved because somebody invites them. Invite people to church all the time. I invited many people yesterday at this function. Everybody I spoke to, I said, why don't you come to church? I want to invite you. They say, oh, pastor, if you invite me. I say, I'm inviting you. I've never invited anybody that says, no, I don't want to come. And I'll invite them again and again and again. Jesus says, go into the highways and byways and compel people to come that my house may be filled. Let's be vigilant in telling our story. Some people have no tomorrow. You are the hope of the gospel. You are the agent of light, the messenger that God has sent. You cannot keep the message of what Jesus did for you for yourself. So pray for them. Because that veil of blindness, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, is what's blinding their minds to believe the gospel. But prayer lifts that veil. Prayer opens the hearts of people. Isaiah 66 verse 18 said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. We pray for kings. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, and all in authority, that we may lead in honesty and godliness. Verse 4 says, for it is the will of God for all men to be saved. God does not want any human being to perish without Jesus Christ. We are the ones standing between the living and the dead. Our weapon is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have a testimony. This is what Jesus did for me. So number one, you pray for your world. Number two, you tell your world your story. Number three, you bring your world to Jesus. Number four, you stay with your world and you disciple them. Because we know the devil wants to steal what God starts in the hearts of people. But we are called by Jesus to go into all the world and to make disciples of people. Even Paul the Apostle, after he saw the light and he encountered Christ, God speak to Ananias to lay hands on him, to baptize him, and to disciple him. We have to pray for those new converts, for Christ to be formed in them. Take them with us to home cell. Take them to the new members' orientation. Get them connected. Get them involved in the local church. We are called by Jesus to be fishers of men. You don't have to go to China. You don't have to stand on a street corner. All you have to do is tell your story, the glorious story of His amazing grace, who found you when you least deserved it, who washed you and forgave you all your sin. Oh, come on. I need somebody to give the Lord a praise, remembering what God has done for you. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, all over South Africa. Give Him a praise this morning. They're in Bloemfontein in Tabanchu. They're in Gaborone this morning. Give Jesus a praise for salvation, for saving your soul, for giving your sin, washing you in His blood. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Every one of us, our stories are different. But each story matters. Maybe you grew up religiously like so many in this country, like Nicodemus. And you've always been seeking God. Jesus said to him, you must be born again. A lot of people seeking God. We don't go out there and say to people that you're bad. All we do is tell our story. We don't have to talk about sin, because where do we stop? We have to talk about the solution. If you want to get rid of darkness on the balcony right at the top there, we just have to switch on the light. We don't need a debate about darkness. If you want to get rid of hurt, you have to speak about healing. If you want to get rid of hate, You don't point the hate out. You turn love on. You want to get rid of confusion, you bring peace. Our world is broken. People in our South Africa are hurting. This is our world. For those of you in Gaborone, Botswana is your world. This is where we live. This is where we work. This is where we play. This is where God placed us. This is our mission field. You are the evangelist. All you have to do is open your mouth and tell your story. I never had to go to an evangelistic course to get people saved. The fact is, what happened to me was very real. I can't explain it, but it was more real than anything I'd ever encountered. I walked into a meeting, Jesus came forgive me. He broke the power of sin, the desire for sin. My language changed. I mean, I couldn't say a sentence without blinkety blink 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 blinkety blink blink blink. He just took that old man out. I was same on the outside, Pastor Jack, but I changed. I understand the transformation of the mind, the renewing of the mind, etc. I do understand all of that. But that man of the Gadarenes, he had one encounter with Jesus. What state of mind was he in? The Bible says he was clothed, sitting in his right mind. One encounter with Jesus, clothed, sitting in his right mind. Because he encountered the real Jesus. Let's take Jesus to our world by telling our world what he has done for us. And not identify with every other story out there. The way to heal people's pain is through the gospel story. And to start with people's hearts, and then the reformation has to follow revival. I'm fully aware of that. And I understand as a nation we're way behind on that for many reasons. For many reasons. But with politics coming on, be sure that the message one will again be one of division, one to stir up hatred and one to stir up strife. To exploit people's emotions to get votes. You stay true to who you are in Christ, and in the midst of insanity, you tell your story, because your story, just the people sitting here, the members of CRC that we have in South Africa, if we all begin to tell our story, we can bring healing and hope to South Africa. I came here with nothing. There are some people whose lives have been changed, and it's those people that should stand up and say, my life has been changed. I had nothing. I had no future. I didn't know where I was going to go. Then God came. Jesus came. This was my journey. I got a temporary job. People despised me. People belittled me. People stood upon me. But God always helped me, like a Joseph, to forgive those people and to keep my heart pure. And then God gave me a job. And then this happened. And then God, Jesus. If we take God and Jesus out of the equation, what story are we telling? Who are we going to heal with a story apart from the gospel story? It is not possible. No matter how painful our past, no matter how tragic our past, there is healing in one story. And that is what Jesus came to do for humanity. People have suffered throughout the ages. I'm not justifying suffering. God is against suffering, but there's been suffering since the beginning of time. That is why he came, to bring healing, peace, stability, a new kingdom that is not governed by boundaries, by color, by race, by language. It's governed by the love of God. And when the love of God enters your heart, vertically, the love will flow horizontally. It's not possible to have an encounter with God and still to be like the disciples before Pentecost, astonished that Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. What is he thinking? The Jews despised the Samaritan. He's a rabbi. Come on, Jesus. The Samaritans are beneath us. But he goes out of his way to go to that woman. To make a point, he goes out of his way when he talks about good deeds to talk about a good Samaritan. So that this gospel surpasses culture, color, every story. He makes a point. The Bible says if all the works Jesus did was written, the world would not be able to contain the books. There is nothing in this Bible without intent and purpose. And after Jesus comes, it's all relationship. Paul, a Hebrew, called to the Gentile. Paul, who had a problem with the Gentile, the infidel, the person who could not be a believer. Paul, who's a Hebrew of Hebrews, sat under Gamaliel, and Jesus saves him. He is the learned man. He's the one you should think is called to the Jew, but God calls him to the Gentile. And Peter is called to the Jew, and Peter has a racial problem, and Paul has to stand against him. Two apostles, have you read it? Because Paul, Peter wants the Gentiles to be circumcised, still classifying them inferior, although they are in Christ. In Galatians 1, Paul said, I had to withstand Peter publicly. That he's making this about a racial issue again. And it's not a Christ issue. Amen. Even the vision Peter had in Acts chapter 4, the sheep that comes down from heaven. And God says, rise, kill. He says, I will not eat what is unclean. God says, do not call unclean what I call clean. Because Cornelius was on his way, and Peter had a problem about Gentiles getting saved, although his calling was to touch them. So the whole Bible, every story in the Bible, is filled with purpose.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I open my heart and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be a child of God. I give myself to you. I surrender all in Jesus' name. Thank you that I am born again, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.